Thank you, Mr. Harris, and welcome, brethren, wherever you are, in person and on the internet. So, as Mr. Harris had already indicated, the title of my sermonette is The Only Thing to Fear. And for those of a certain age, this might be really obvious that the reference here is to the 1933 inaugural address offered by the then new president of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The country was in the grip of a horribly depressed economy. I think everyone knows that. People were hopeless, and there were many suicides and as a reaction to fear and the circumstances that did indeed seem hopeless. One of the things I just as an aside that I noticed, I read the entire inaugural, and it's amazing to me there are at least three very, very distinct biblical references that I never ever thought might be in that sort of a speech, but I just found that very interesting. It's not important to the sermonette. We may have a difficult time relating to that era, that day, since most of us may not have been around or might have been younger, but we had some tiny sense of it in 2008 with what became a worldwide recession. Our nation, once very, very highly blessed, cannot escape Satan's influence and power, quite frankly, without a U-turn towards God's law. Make no mistake, the war for our minds, emotions, and our faith indeed continues, and so much of it is based on fear and is now more and more complicated, or so it seems. And it's not always as obvious as perhaps it might seem, or perhaps as we thought it was in the past. Each day and each week we hear of the chaotic political struggle and grind taking place worldwide. Just in our own United States of America, we have the energized battle between capitalism and a new form of liberalism that for many people in the country is a neo-socialism that, quite frankly, looks much like communism. The irony is that we have people advocating things like gun control, not entirely bad by any stretch of the imagination, while members of the same political party are silent when it comes to violent behavior of a group of self-proclaimed anti-fascists, or that's so what they refer to themselves as. And woe to the innocent person. Indeed, it does not matter how old the person, the color of their skin, whatever circumstances, woe to them if they chose the wrong street in a city like Portland or some other so-called progressive stronghold. As they attempt to drive down the street, they may well be beaten or have their car destroyed just for being on that street while that protest is taking place. Nonviolent protests? Not quite. It's hard not to be frightened. And again, fear comes back into it in this world with such behaviors that are attributed to political positions that proponents claim they must have in order to win back the world. And the spontaneity of violence, such as mass shootings that we've seen and we've talked about for months and years, is part of that. As a nation, we in the U.S. should wonder how we could have come from a culture of prosperity and growth that was clearly blessed to us, to a culture of threat and chaos. We, of course, understand what is happening, and we realize that this has nothing to do with selecting the right party in this country or the preferred ideology. A culture of sinfulness is not pleasing to God, no matter what color tie or dress one wears. We rationalize behavior, and we like to believe that we're on the correct side. And there's only one correct side, and we know this to be true, and we know that this is with God. Regardless of the difficulty of turning our back on most of what this world is about. We know that is not always easy, but we are admonished by God to be prepared for what is to come. Yet, truly, we have little context to know what it will be like in the world as the time of Jesus Christ returns. We hear and we know as we read in the Bible, wars and rumors of wars, well, yes. But what more specifically? There will be war as we know it from history and current events. And that which takes place and places and plays out in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and did take place in Vietnam and Korea. There'll also be wars of an insidious type, perhaps harder to pinpoint, yet the victims will be many. Just in the past 8 weeks alone, Mexican authorities did a spot check of a Danish container shipping vessel owned by Maersk. The ship originated in Shanghai. That's important. And be clear, merchandise does not get aboard a ship in China without significant government controls and foreknowledge. The ship was bound for a port in Culiacan, Mexico, and the client was none other than the Sinaloa cartel. On board, 23 tons, 52,000 pounds of an opioid called fentanyl. This is an opioid, but it's not made into pills such as oxycodone or hydrocodone. It's commonly used by anesthesiologists in the correct way in the operating room, and many of us have had it. And it's used to place a patient in an unconscious state in which they feel no pain and they do not face the same breathing threats as they might with other drugs. It's very positive, but it's a very potent, and it must be diluted to be used in a hospital OR setting. One concentrated drop can kill a person very quickly. 23 tons in this one-drop state can kill 11 billion people. If this drug had been received, it would quickly have been on the streets of the U.S. and other Western or open societies. Does this scare you yet? Fear? Have you seen firsthand stories covering San Francisco and Los Angeles? They're dealing not just with a monumental homelessness problem, but a health crisis never before seen in the U.S. Workers fight typhoid and dysentery daily, and hepatitis is rampant in San Francisco and L.A., and bubonic plague is likely to emerge in a large way soon. Parts of these famed cities are now worse than some of the poorest and least advanced countries and cities on the planet, right here in what was our blessed country. And truly, we are still blessed in many ways. There's a danger as well from the decay of the waste matter that's on the streets that becomes dried and aerosolized. And this efficiently spreads disease many miles from the purported epicenter. So war has arrived. If we didn't know it, horrible, horrible things. And the mustard gas and napalm and the more high-tech biological and weapons that we've seen in the past have been eclipsed by diseases from the Middle Ages. In the late 1990s, I visited the Japanese cities of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. These are very modern and robust cities now, but of course, in World War II, they were brought to ash by the U.S. and the atomic weapons that we utilized. The killing was quicker and widespread, but death by disease or by radiation is still death. We need to be vigilant and aware, but given all of this, it's understandable to become scared and fearful. Even as a believer, you can become paralyzed with fear. However, as one of God's people, we're directed to be aware and watch for the signs of Christ's return. But we are also directed not to be afraid. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy 31, chapter 31 and verse 6. I'm reading from the NIV version. So again, Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do we believe this? We must believe this, given what we're facing. We cannot rely on people and political parties to offer hope. There's only one source for that, and we know that is God the Father and His Son, our Savior, an elder brother, and coming King. Human governments are limited by what God intends and allows for a time. Nonetheless, He expects that we will do as He required, even of His Son. And we can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Again, 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 17. And reading, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who were sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. live as God's slaves, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. So we are to fear God, and in doing so, obey and love him. We are to rely only on him for our salvation, and if we obey his commands and believe in him and in his son, we can receive the gift beyond all comprehension, as we know, a future place in his kingdom, by his side. Mankind can hurt, torture, and even kill us in our physical being, but if we live a life that is loving of and fearful of God, such an outcome is temporary. We respect human authority as God commands, but we do not go as far as to become enmeshed in the politics of the day by voting or some other mechanism. God does not want this, and we do not need it. We do not need it. There is a solution to the problems we are now seeing through only God. Let's read together from the book of Isaiah, and this is in chapter 43, beginning in verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. It's easy not to fear in this lifetime. Of course not. This is a scary world, and it seems that the time of odd and strange occurrences are becoming nearer and nearer and right on top of us. God knows this, and Jesus Christ knows this. He suffered even though he did a perfect job of respecting both the authority of the day, but also loving and following the Father's commandments perfectly. He knows what we're facing, and we are never alone with him. Even when it seems like we are, he hears our words and sees our suffering, and still he demands our love and respect. For our final scripture, to make this point better than I possibly can, let's read in 1 John and in chapter 4 in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Sometimes I think my hobby is worrying. I'm good at it, and that's not a good thing. That's not a godly thing. About a good many things, but the point is that I'm wasting my time by doing that. I do know that God wants me to be aware, be prepared, and above all, to obey and trust in him and not to fear. So as I close, I would go back to the title. The only thing to fear is not what mankind can do, but the only thing to fear is an alienating God.